Welcome to Spark Your Fire podcast, sparking your interest in Australian property and finance. Now, here's your host, Jazz. But before that, let's listen to the quote of the week.
One of the best things we can learn to do is drop it. Let it go. Whether it happened 20 years ago or 20 minutes ago, don't carry negative baggage from yesterday into today. You won't live a victorious life if you're always reliving what didn't work out, who hurt you, the mistakes you've made. The reason it's called the past is because it's over. It's done. It's history. Now do your part and let it go.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to the show once again. We have got our usual guests back on the show today. Roger, welcome back to the show, mate.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for that. It's been, I think, 3 months, Roger. We last had you in April after the market tanked a fair bit, the March crash. And since then, obviously, things have changed a little bit. Today, I think, is a perfect day, actually, where we have seen S&P 500 hitting back to its all-time high. What's your take on the market currently?
Well, it's reflecting more than anything else the fact that interest rates are very, very low. And so what you're seeing is a concentration of money towards growth because there's no growth anywhere else. And so equities represent the growth part of the portfolio, and particularly technology companies leveraged to lockdown restrictions being eased, companies leveraged to the possibility of a vaccine being developed and released. We've got one coming up, one trial that should be concluded and results released in October. That's the AstraZeneca Oxford trial or vaccine candidate. So, you know, there's a lot of optimism that we'll go back to normal pretty soon. And even in the absence of that optimism, interest rates are very, very low. And so that has a positive effect on the present value of future cash flows. And so that's why stocks are being bid up.
If you look at, I mean, I was looking at the charts before, and just Apple in the last 3 months have added $1 trillion into the market cap, and Tesla is up by 1,000%, give or take, since June last year. Is this really sustainable?
No. The growth. So what's happened is earnings for these companies have risen. Market capitalization of these companies has risen even more. And so the price to earnings multiple has expanded. So a continuation of that expansion of the PE is probably not sustainable. There could be some further expansion, but not at the same rate that we've seen in the past. If, of course, the stimulus that is supporting a lot of the spending that is benefiting these companies' revenues, if that government stimulus slows down at all, then there's a risk, obviously, that they won't be able to continue growing their earnings at the same rate. And so you'll get some narrowing or contraction of that PE expansion, and you might get the share prices reversing. But by the same token, there's still a lot of optimism around the possibility of lockdowns being eased. That changes who the winners are and who the losers are, and that could move share prices around too.
The other thing was Warren Buffett was obviously in news this week buying a stake in gold mining stocks. How do you take that piece of news, and what does that tell us?
Basically? Well, it tells me it's not Warren Buffett doing the buying. it's Ted Coombs and the other investment manager that he's got at Berkshire Hathaway. Warren Buffett, a few years back, when gold hit about $1,800 an ounce, talked about the prospects for gold in the long run and gave a terrific story saying that if you melded all the gold in the world together, it would form a cube that would fit in the infield of a baseball pitch. And, you know, he went on to say that all you could do is look at it and fondle it. And in 100 years' time, that's all you could do with it. And that you'd be better off putting your money somewhere else. In productive assets such as real estate or rural production or shares and so on. So the fact that gold is being bought now, so quickly after that statement about gold was made a few years ago, tells me it's not Warren Buffett doing the buying.
Mm-hmm. So obviously the style of investing has changed quite a bit.
Well, I think Berkshire Hathaway, a lot of the Berkshire portfolio is not being selected purely by Warren Buffett. You know, he's allowing his portfolio managers to make those decisions.
Mm. And obviously, it's to hedge against the QE and the money printing to some extent.
And I just remember it's Todd Coombs, not Ted Coombs. Sorry, Todd Coombs.
Mm-hmm. The other piece of news, Roger, that was big over the last week or two was the Commonwealth Bank, CBA, did cut their dividend to, I think, 0.98 versus $2.31 a year ago. I mean, that's a pretty decent cut. And I think the reason for the cut is pretty obvious, which is the earnings side. What sort of impact do you see in that space, and especially for the retirees who are who rely on some of these dividends from the banking stocks and all?
Yeah, it's a huge problem. So let me answer the second question first.
Mm-hmm.
So retirees obviously have money in the bank. They have term deposits. Those interest rates have been declining now for about 37 years, and so they're earning less and less. So they've been forced to buy riskier assets such as shares. Obviously, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but the largest share sector that is held by retirees are the banks.
Mm-hmm.
And now their dividends are under pressure as well. So for retirees, it really is, you know, they've jumped out of the frying pan into the fire. They've gone from low income on cash to deteriorating income in shares, but with a lot more risk. Mm-hmm. So it's a big problem for them. In terms of the outlook for the banks, it will continue to be under pressure for some time. Mm-hmm. An increasing proportion of their portfolio, their mortgage book, is in hardship.
Mm-hmm.
And then those hardship classified mortgages aren't counted in the deferred mortgages. Mm-hmm. You know, the mortgages that are late, mm-hmm. and so that's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean that there will be a lot more risk taken by these boomers and the investors in the market, which already we are seeing to some extent with the Robinhood traders and all, value investing concept is being totally thrown out to some extent? Is it
fair? What works at the moment is just buying companies that are growing their earnings quickly.
Mm.
They're the stocks that do the best.
Mm.
Even if they're not growing their earnings, they're growing revenues or they're growing customers, or you know, they don't even have to have profit at the moment. And they're the companies that are going the best, and that's because interest rates are now near zero.
Mm-hmm.
But the risk, of course, is that interest rates can't go much lower. The RBA has said they're not willing to lower rates below 0.25.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point in the future, not in the near future, but at some point in the future, rates will go up again.
Mm-hmm.
Bonds will climb, bond rates will climb, and people will have to reappraise the present value of money. And therefore the intrinsic values or the share prices of these stocks. And at that point, they'll come under some pressure. We think there'll be a rotation at the moment from the what we call the structural growth companies to those companies that are more cyclical in nature, so those companies that are more leveraged to a recovery in or a return to more normal behaviour in the population, you know, less lockdown restrictions and so on.
Mm-hmm. So the bond yields have been dropping, obviously. Or they did shoot up a little bit recently, but do you see them going down to zero or negative? And what does that mean for the markets overall?
I'm not sure that rates will go negative in the US or in Australia. I'm not sure about that at all.
New Zealand did came. There was an article published by the Reserve Bank of New Zealand that they working on a toolkit to counter the
That's New Zealand, but in Australia I last year had lunch with Guy DeBell and he explained to me that they're more likely to use unconventional monetary policy such as bond buying, and they'll just keep buying bonds rather than cut short-term interest rates to negative levels.
So you don't see that happening in Australia?
No, because what's not happening is even where rates are today, banks have effectively got their money for free. and they're still not lending. You know, they're very risk averse at the moment. You could have got a loan a year ago if you were a good credit. You could have got a loan for 100% of the purchase price of a property, and you can't get that now. Now you need a 30% deposit or more. So the banks aren't lending. So there's no point in cutting rates even further because it's not going to stimulate activity any more than 0.25 is.
Yep, fair enough. What sectors are looking interesting to you in the next 12 months? You said before that there's going to be a rotation. What sectors do you think?
Well, yeah, so we think companies that are exposed or leveraged to a return to more normal behaviour. So, for example, you know, if lockdowns, if there's a vaccine, and I'm not saying that there will be, but let's say that there's a vaccine, people will start going back to work. They will start going to supermarkets and shopping centres to shop. So the growth in online that you've seen, that migration to e-commerce, that will slow. There'll still be growth long term, and there will be a structural element to that shift, but there's also a cyclical element. So people will move back to going to the shops. And so companies that perhaps don't have such a strong online presence but have a good store presence, you might find they do well. Also, companies like Scentre Group, which owns the Westfield shopping centres in Australia, you know, they're going to start seeing people foot traffic return. Then sales start going up for the stores that are in those centres, and then they start collecting more rent, and off it goes again. So, and then of course, if there is a vaccine, companies like travel stocks are going to do well. You know, your Sydney airports, your Transurbans are going to do well. People are going to travel on the road more. You're going to see, you know, Webjet, corporate travel management, Flight Centre, those sorts of businesses in Australia are going to do better. And overseas, you might even find companies like the cruise liners, like Carnival Cruises, you know, they'll start doing very well.
Last time when we had you on the show in April, you thought that there will probably be another capitulation that will happen that will clear the market. Now, that clearly hasn't happened.
No.
Which I think it's fair to say it's probably because of all the support that has been provided by the Fed Reserve and the RBA, which is QE, right?
Yeah.
Do you see that to be do you see the market to be more moving upwards from here, or do you still see there's a possibility of that capitulation happening?
Yeah, I still think there's a possibility. The reason why I say that is because you've got a very narrow band of stocks that have been the beneficiary of the money flowing into the stock market. Their PEs have expanded extraordinarily. You talked about one of them earlier. So that you've got to remember that there's five stocks that represent 25% of the S&P 500. That's Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Facebook and Google, and those five companies, they're a quarter of the market. Now, their PEs have expanded enormously. Amazon's trading at, you know, 200 or 300 times its earnings. So, you know, it's very, very possible that the index, the market, as you just talk about, the index could move lower because that trade is rotated out of, so that stay-at-home trade that these companies are all benefiting from, that reverses. And that doesn't mean you won't make money. You could still make money on other companies, you know, the other 495 companies in the S&P 500 that haven't gone up as much. You might find that rotation means they go up and these other ones come off.
But some of these other companies that are in the S&P 500, do you see the risk to reward being really there, where you're investing the money in some of those companies and the real performers so far for the last year or two have been the tech giants, the ones that you mentioned before? It's a risk to reward whether it really adds up or not.
Simple rule is the higher the price you pay, the lower your return. So, you know, if you pay a high price for a stock, you're going to find that your return is going to be lower in the future. You might not lose money, but I suspect there'll be a return to some volatility in the future. You know, we'll see another bout of volatility. It's not going to be smooth sailing for the next 5 years. The outlook for the economy is simply that we're in a recession now. There's no doubt about that. There's no question about that. In fact, so bad are the numbers. And so adverse has been the impact on GDP, that even though we might show growth next year or the year after, we'll still be below where we were in 2019 in absolute terms. Employment, it's easier to sack 1,000 people than it is to hire 1,000 people. It takes a lot longer. And so companies that remain in business, that do survive this period, even after some tapering of government support programs, they will take a long time to be rehiring. And then you've got a lot of companies that are gone. Lots of companies are going broke, going into liquidation or voluntary administration. If you look at the ATO statistics and the ASIC statistics, there's not as many companies applying, not as many people applying for ABN, Australian business numbers. There's not many as many companies being incorporated as there has been in the past. And so there's fewer employment opportunities for people who are out of work. So it's going to take a long time for the economy to recover in that environment. There's a potential for more volatility.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, no one's got the crystal ball over here, but if you still think that there's a possibility of capitulation, what sort of time frame you're looking at for that?
I don't have the answer to that. Wish I could tell you, it's going to be November the 3rd at 2 p.m.
It's not more about the date, but I mean, if it has to happen, is it in the near term we're talking, or it can be a drag where it can take 12 months?
It won't be weeks, but it won't be years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I know you are not a fan of cryptocurrencies. Have your opinion changed recently based on what's happening?
Because they've gone up? No.
Not because they've gone up, but because the likes of Paul Tudor Jones, one of the biggest hedge funds, have put their stake in it. It's more
yes. Yes. He lost a lot of money over the last few years making wrong bets, so who knows? He could be right this time, he could be wrong this time. I don't know.
Right. So your opinion is basically still the same, that it's... blockchain.
It's pure speculation, right? Mm-hmm. Pure speculation. And I think there are safer ways to make money.
Fair enough. Any thoughts on the gold overall, how it's going to perform over the next few years?
Look, over the last decade or so, every Christmas I buy my wife an ounce of gold. And every Christmas, that's what she gets in under the Christmas tree. And so... it looks like a really smart investment strategy at the moment, but I suspect in 5 or 10 years' time it'll be back down again and look like a really dumb strategy.
You really are a value investor. Don't even spend on Christmas, really, in that case. Invest that part of it. Anything else, Roger, from a market perspective that you think will help listeners to be more careful and invest
It's reporting season at the moment. Mm-hmm. So when we're recording this podcast, there's a lot of companies reporting. Their results are very, very good. And what we're discovering is some of them are reporting really, really good results and very positive outlook statements, and their shares aren't particularly expensive at the moment. So, it's really time to, this time of year when companies are reporting and giving their projections for the future, it's a really good time to be finding high-quality businesses that might be cheap.
Mm-hmm. So what are your favourite picks at the moment?
Yeah, look, I've listed a few in that turnaround space. So, companies that are leveraged to recovery, companies that are leveraged to lockdowns being eased, they're the ones that I think, they're the ones that I think are going to do well.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Roger, it's always good to have you on the show. There's a lot happening in the market, so it was good to get your take on what do you think.
There's always a lot happening. I'm sure next time there'll be more.
it's a very different type of environment that we are in for this, especially in Victoria where I am. So.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. Good to talk to you again.
Always. Thanks for that, and we'll probably catch up soon again at some point.
I look forward to it.
Because the property numbers as well.
Okay, great.
If you have any questions or feedback about today's episode, you can reach out to us through sparkyourfirepodcast@gmail.com. That's sparkyourfirepodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Also, the content discussed in this episode is general in nature. Please seek specific advice from qualified professionals in regards to your personal situation.